It's time for the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. I'm Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. This morning, we will visit with area baseball coaches to see how their teams did this past week and what's on the schedule for this week. Now, the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show right here on Q92. And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio on a beautiful Saturday morning, and it's a great day to play some baseball. And Brandon Hill's in the studio with us, and Brandon will be down at the Madison Memorial Baseball Field all day today, Brandon.
Yep, it's a big weekend. We started off last night with Junior Legion, and we're going to keep it going today.
Yeah, and the field looks great. Going to be a lot of people in Madison today. We'll talk about that when Brandon gives a report on the Madison Mallards, but we're going to start out today talking Junior Legion baseball or Madison VFW baseball. And I explained that last night on the air when I was doing the game, Brandon. I refer to the Madison VFW team as the VFW team. Of course, we play in the Junior Legion League, and that kind of confuses everybody once in a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we do play in the Junior Legion League. Yeah. Most teams that we play against now are represented by their Legion organization in town, but since the VFW is the team that 100% supports us and they've always supported us, we still refer to ourselves all the time as the VFW team. And when I talk to people, I talk about we're the VFW baseball team. Yep. So I just like to, give them credit for supporting us, even though we do play in a Junior Legion League now.
Yep. Madison VFW, it started with your dad back in the day, I guess. They've been supporting us the VFW has been supporting Madison baseball for many years.
Yeah, Bart got the VFW program going again, and it was around 1990. My dad came to Madison in fall of 89, so he started it sometime after that. Maybe it was summer of 90, I think it was.
Yep, and you're carrying a torch on, right?
Yep, I am. A lot of years in a row of Hills doing it now. So.
Yeah, that's good. When you're young yet, do we got another 40, 50 years in you?
Yeah, we'll see. I think you're right. I think Bart has 30 years, well into 30 years of coaching. So,
Before we talk about Madison's game last night, let's run through some of them scores in the playoffs, in the Junior Legion playoffs. In the Southwest Sub-District, a game you heard right here on Q92, Madison 16, Cottonwood 3. And then Montevideo received the forfeit from Granite Falls. Granite Falls unable to, they have to forfeit the whole playoff, unable to get enough players. So there'll be two games in the Southwest Substate today. Madison will take on Mineota at 10 o'clock this morning in Mineota. And then the other game will be held in Sacred Heart at 11 o'clock this morning. That's Montevideo taking on Sacred Heart McRae. In the West Central Substate last night, Kirkhoven 13, Morris 9. New London Spicer beat Bold 16-4. So two games today in the West Central Substate. Starbuck versus Kirkhoven at 11 o'clock at Minnewaska. And New London Spicer will take on ACGC at 2 o'clock at ACGC. And then Sunday, all the games in the West Central Substate will move over to Minnewaska. And in the Southwest Substate, all the games will be moved over to Sacred Heart. So that's what's happened in Junior Legion Baseball last night and today and Sunday. And Brandon, congratulations on a big win last night. Put up 16 runs against Cottonwood.
Yeah, that was a good first round win for us. And I just want to say, like you mentioned, it's amazing all the teams now that are in Junior Legion. It keeps growing because last year was the first year of it, and all those teams that you just listed were VFW teams 3 years ago. And it's amazing how many teams are growing, and the playoff brackets are getting bigger and bigger, and the statewide teams are getting bigger and bigger. So that's something that I'm really happy to see.
Yeah, around the state, of course, Montevideo will be hosting the State Junior Legion Baseball Tournament in a couple weeks, and so it's close by.
Yeah. Last year was in Bird Island, so it wasn't a far travel for us either when we made it, so hopefully we can be playing in Montevideo.
And I'm pretty proud of my son, Brandon Ramo. He's kind of heading up the Junior Legion statewide, and he's pretty nervous with the State coming to Monty, but they got everything covered over there. They got the whole motel rented out, and I was over there yesterday. They were working hard at improving the Montevideo baseball field.
Yeah, Brandon has a lot of responsibility in it. He's always the go-to guy. You know, it's tough when people have questions or problems anywhere in the league. They call him, and he kind of has to find an answer for him. So he does a good job. That's happened one time where I had to call him before a game, and he had an answer for me right away. So he does a really good job of that. And like you mentioned, the Montevideo baseball field, they're doing a lot of improvements on it. They did some maintenance around, like, their concession stand, just some cosmetic stuff, and then they did get new dugouts put in this year, too. Yeah. So, and that was much needed. Their dugouts were... They're very old over in Monty, yeah.
And those are beautiful dugouts they made in Montevideo. They're huge. They're long, and they got brand-new bench seats where you can sit up high. The players can sit up on the second level, sit up high, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. So, and then they put new pavers in. Businesses and families can... in front of the concession stand there is pretty neat. So
yeah, that's the big part of baseball, you know, supporting baseball programs in small towns. I mean, you see it at our field. It's all, or you know, 75% of it is donations from private companies or local people in the community.
And a lot of volunteers, too.
Yeah, a lot of volunteers, yeah.
All right, let's talk about your game last night in the first round of the Southwest Substate, it's called, a 16-3 win over Cottonwood.
Yeah, so like we mentioned a couple weeks ago, we were playing Cottonwood, and we had a chance to clinch the number one seed over Mineota in our division, and we ended up losing to Cottonwood. So we secured the number two seed going into the playoffs, and it's kind of actually goofy, our scores with Cottonwood. We've won 12-1, and we've lost 12-1. I think our first two games were. I don't have them in front of me right now. And then last night, we were able to win 16-3. So our guys going into the game, we... You know, you don't really know what to expect when you've beat a team really bad and then they beat you really bad, but we just have to go out there and plan on them being a really tough team, the one we saw the second time. So we knew if we went out there and we played our game that we can get a win. So luckily in the first inning, we got through the top half of the first inning and we got to the bottom half of the first. We ended up scoring 5 runs right away, and it was just a good starter for us, you know, give our pitcher some help right away. And then we went on to the second inning, we scored 8 runs, a lot of hits and a lot of walks, and we capitalized on a few of their mistakes. And like I said, we went on to win 16-3. We did give up a lot of base runners, actually. We did walk 8 batters total in the game between our two pitchers, but we were able to work out all of the jams, and we only allowed 3 runs for Cottonwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first 2 innings were huge. A couple of big errors by Cottonwood in that first inning and second inning. You know, got you a few runs there, but boy, you guys put the ball on the bat.
Yeah. You know, when teams make mistakes like that, you know, obviously it's not us doing it, and we're lucky to keep the inning going. But I was proud. When they made those mistakes, we capitalized every time. I think in the first inning we scored 1 run, and then they made a mistake on what would have been the 3rd out of the inning, so we had only 1 earned run, and then we went on to score 4 more runs after that. So we did hit the ball around. We didn't have a lot of earned runs, but what happened after those mistakes is we totally capitalized on them and we jumped on them. So,
yeah, and a good piece. I commented about this. The base running went well last night. Some good base running.
Yep,
and that's important in baseball, isn't it?
It's really important, and that comes from my dad's coaching me. It's kind of his big focal point on offense is running the bases. And if you look at our team, I mean, we have a lot of guys with a lot of speed, and that's kind of the team we have to be. We don't have a lot of big power guys or anything like that, so we like to run the bases a lot, and we did that perfectly. We stole a lot of bases, we ran out a lot of, you know, 50-50 kind of balls, and so we could score some extra runs, and we jumped on anything that got by the catcher, and we advanced all the bases, and that was the main reason why we were able to score so many runs.
Okay, let's talk about some of those stats in that game.
Yeah, we had 9 hits. We scored 16 runs, like I mentioned. We didn't commit an error, so that was good, and I'll run through some of the stats. Gavin Fernholz, our leadoff guy, was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Leighton Whitnable in the 2 slot, he's our center fielder. He had a pretty good night. He was 2-for-4. He had 2 RBIs, and then he had that big triple in the second inning that went all the way to the fence. That was impressive to watch him run the bases. He's really fast. Mm-hmm. And then we had Tucker Drugsma, who was 1-for-2, and he had a double later on in the game. Mason Clark was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Carter Amland was 1-for-2 with an RBI. Evan Hagland was 1-for-2 with an RBI. Eli Lowry had a big hit in the first inning. He was 1-for-2 with 2 RBIs. It was an infield hit, and he was able to beat it out, and we scored 2 runs on that, and that was a big base-running play by us. We just kept moving on the base paths and didn't assume that there was going to be an out at first, so we ended up scoring 2 runs there.
Is Eli Lowry one of the younger ones on the team?
Eli is a ninth grader, okay. Yeah. So he's one of the younger guys, so I didn't have him last year at all or anything, so this is his first year with me, and he's been in our designated hitter role a lot, and he's done really great over the last 5 games, so we're going to keep him in there, and he keeps doing a good job and impressing all of us. So, and then our number 9 hitter, Ryder Dugsma, is 1-for-1. So.
Okay. Yeah, talk about your pitching last night. Mason Clark started, and then Carter Hamlin came in and did a nice job.
Yeah, Mason Clark started for us. It was, like I mentioned last night when we talked after the game, Mason hasn't done a ton of pitching for us. He's started a couple games, but he's primarily our catcher, so it's tough to take him away from his catching role because he does a good job back there, and he really makes our defense really tough. But looking into the matchups and going into the playoffs as a whole, our good matchup for us was to pitch Mason in the first round against Cottonwood because we think he had a good chance to beat them. And he got some outs. He did struggle a little bit with his command, but he went 3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs. They're both earned runs. He did walk 6 batters, and he had 4 strikeouts, but walking 6 guys, it's never good, but he was able to work out of most jams that he got himself into, so that was beneficial to us, and he limited the damage. And, you know, it's important when you put guys on or your control starts getting away from you, you just got to compose yourself and try to limit the damage and get out of the inning.
Okay.
And then we had Carter Hamlin come in for relief. He's only thrown 1 inning on the year for us. He's a freshman, so this is my first year with Carter. He's another guy on defense where he plays shortstop. So we don't want to move Carter away from such an important defensive position so much. So he hasn't got to pitch very much, but he did go 2 innings for us, give up 2 hits, 1 run, that was an earned run, and then he did walk 2, but he struck out 3, and he had 2 big strikeouts in the last inning to get us the win. So.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting that last inning with them 2 strikeouts right away.
Yeah, he really found his command more going into that second inning of pitching. He was throwing a little bit harder, and he looked a lot more impressive in the last inning.
Yeah. So a 16-3 win, you want to keep it at winner's bracket, don't you?
Yep, absolutely. That's the thing. It's with most playoff brackets and like the Junior Legion bracket and the amateur bracket, it's really important, especially if you get that first win and to stay in the winner's bracket. And, you know, if you look at the high school, even if you get in the loser's bracket right away, you could have to win something like 5 or 6 games in a row to win the section. So it's really important to get up and stay up in the winner's bracket.
Yep. Any more things you want to talk about on that game there, Brandon?
No, it was a 5-inning game. So we won by the 10-run rule. We had 5 runs in the first inning, 8 runs in the second inning. We didn't score in the third, and then we had 3 more runs in the fourth inning, so okay. That's how we scored all of our runs.
Yeah, and just some highlights that come to my mind, Whit Nabel's triple was neat. Drugsma had a double, as you mentioned, so some good hit, well-hit balls there.
Yeah, Layton has been coming on lately. He had a little while where we had a big layoff just over the 4th of July break, 2 weeks, and then he actually had a wrestling camp for a week too, so he had a long layoff, and you could see his confidence wasn't really there, but we all knew that Layton is a good hitter. Like, you know, you can do it. We all believe that you're a really good hitter, and he's put some really good swings on the ball lately. Last night was actually an 0-2 count, and it was a curveball, and he laced it all the way to the fence, and it just shows he's a lot of strength as a hitter, and he's a really good athlete.
All right. Well, what's happening today then in Junior Legion baseball?
So, yeah, what's actually happening right now is Madison, we're playing at 10 a.m. in Mineota, and Bart, my dad, and Brad Fernholz are actually taking the team today, and we talked about it. And with the region tournament and, you know, how much responsibility we have as the Mallards to run that, and then we actually play today. So we decided Bart and Brad will go down to Mineota, and they'll take the team in my spot. And that's something that they've done plenty of times, and obviously I have no worry that Bart can do a fine job without me there.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, so I knew that. I figured they weren't losing anything by me not being there so much. And that's part of the kind of the deal that we had when I was started doing VFW Junior Legion Baseball, is my dad would help me out with it a lot, because there's sometimes where I've had to miss a game to go play for the Mallards. So then I can go play my game and my dad can take the team. And that happened one time this year, earlier in the season, actually against Cottonwood. And so that's what's happening today.
Well, that works out well though, huh?
Yeah. And I think the kids learn a lot of the same stuff from me and my dad, so it shouldn't be too different. I know they're all very familiar with him from the high school season, so I don't think they'll be too worried about it.
And maybe some people are wondering why 10 o'clock in the morning, kind of early, but the Mineota Legion actually went deep in the playoffs, and they got beat on Thursday night, so that's why they prepared ahead of time to move it up to 10, plus the you and Bart and need to get back to the Mallards game here in the afternoon, so a 10 o'clock start, that's why.
Yeah, so Mineota, I'm sure they share a lot of Legion players and Junior Legion players, and that's a situation we're lucky we're not actually in that at all this year. All of our Junior Legion guys all just play Junior Legion, and then all the Legion guys have their own entire team, so that's nice to get the good numbers where we can have two separate teams like that. Mm-hmm. But I've been in that position with Mineota before. Me and Bart were just reminiscing about it earlier this week, how a bunch of times when I was a 9th grader, 10th grader, and when I was playing town team, I remembered one time we played VFW playoffs in Alexandria in the afternoon, and then we drove to Montevideo that night to play Legion playoffs in the same day, and how many times we've gone from Granite to Rosen, from Granite to Ortonville, played Legion and town team in the same day. So,
a lot of baseball.
Yeah, a lot of baseball and a lot of responsibilities between different teams, and I'm sure Mineota has that. So
that's right. And then the other game in the Southwest Stub State today is Montevideo taking on Sacred Heart McRae at 11 o'clock, that game at Sacred Heart. And then after today, all the games will be moved over to Sacred Heart, right?
Yep, all the games moved to Sacred Heart, and I think in the championship game, then that moves back to the team, the higher seed, who would be the undefeated team in the playoffs.
Right, and that'll take place this Tuesday. So let's hope Madison's in there.
Yep, let's hope so.
All right, anything else on Junior Legion baseball, Brandon?
Nope. Like you said, we're playing today in a couple minutes, so I'm trying to get some updates from some of the parents there. Just that's the only way for me to find out, so we'll try to do that. And then if we win, we do play tomorrow again. Not sure totally what the time is. Maybe you got it in front of you.
11 o'clock Sunday.
So, if we win, we'll play tomorrow. And if we win that one, then we're in the championship game on Tuesday, which hopefully will be in Madison if we keep winning. So
that's right. All right. Well, I tell you what, Brad's going to stay in the chair there here in the studio because he's going to give that Madison Mallard report. And we're going to talk a lot about what's going on today in Madison at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. And we'll take a commercial break and be right back.
It's County Fair time, and the State Bank of Taunton would like to encourage folks to attend their local county fair. There's always something for everyone. Great food, lots of exhibits, entertainment, and more. Great fun for all ages. And the State Bank of Taunton would like to invite you to check out their special monthly CD rates. Wanting to find a rate that's perfect for you? Look no further. The State Bank of Taunton is offering the following CD rates for the month of July and into August. Open a 12-month CD with a rate of 1.70 or a 24-month CD with a rate of 2.00 with a minimum deposit of $5,000 new money. The State Bank of Taunton, for whatever life takes you, member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Want to know what I like best about high school sports? I love watching my son run on the field. I love the fact that since he's been playing high school sports, he's making better decisions. And I love knowing that with the proper equipment, education, conditioning, and coaching, high school sports here in Minnesota are safer than ever before. And that's something I really love.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Congratulations, we hear you're engaged. Time to head to T&D Barnwood Rustics, located right along Highway 212 in Dawson, and set up your bridal or shower registry. At T&D Barnwood Rustics, they'll help you with tips and advice to create your home sweet home with popular housewarming gifts to help make your new space feel like you. They'll make it easy for your guests to shop with gifts for any budget. And the great thing about a wedding and shower registry at T&D Barnwood Rustics in Dawson is that there are lots of options, and it's so easy to set up. Stop in and visit with them today or check them out online at barnwoodrustics.com. They're located right on Highway 212 in Dawson, or call 605-695-5292. And in their bridal registry right now, Barb B.B. Billiot and Warren Walschlager, shower date August 10th and wedding September 22nd. Mackenzie Wilding and Devin Gilbertson, shower dates August 14th and September 23rd, wedding date November 17th. Jenna Weber and Travis Ludvigson, shower dates August 11th and wedding date September 29th. And with every bridal registry at T&D Barnwood Rustics in Dawson, it's on Facebook. It actually shows the items the couples have chosen. Guests can see pictures of the items chosen and then can come in or give T&D a call to purchase. Plus, they offer free gift wrapping. That's T&D Barnwood Rustics, located East Highway 212, right in Dawson, Minnesota.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, July 27th through Monday, July 30th in Theater 1, Hotel Transylvania 3, rated PG. That shows at 7 and 9 Friday and Saturday, once nightly at 7 Sunday and Monday. Hotel Transylvania 3 in Theater 1. In Theater 2, held over Ant-Man and the Wasp, rated PG-13. Ant-Man and the Wasp will show at 7 and 9:15 Friday and Saturday, once nightly at 7 Sunday and Monday at the Grand. Wouldn't it be nice if you could sell grain from your office, from your tractor, from the local coffee shop? What if you're on vacation, the market runs, and you want to sell? With CargillAg.com, you can. Anytime you have internet access, you can sell your grain to Cargill. By signing up for a free account through your farm marketer or sales support rep, you can manage all of your Cargill activity, including tracking all of your grain contracts, scale tickets, and more. You can also sign documents with the Cargill e-signature. Sell grain and check the latest futures prices. Contact your local Cargill representative or visit CargillAg.com.
It's the Chippewa County Fair in Montevideo through Sunday, July 29th. 5 full days of county fair time. Your favorites will be back. Sherwin Linton's back on Sunday. Plus, Carnival Wristband Day every day. And many 4-H activities. Check out the Chippewa County Fair website, ChippewaCOFair.com, for a complete list of events. Bring your family and friends over to Montevideo for the Chippewa County Fair. See you there. It's the Region 9C Amateur Baseball Playoffs. This afternoon at 2:30, it's the number one seeded Ortonville Rocks taking on the Madison Mallards. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me this afternoon, 2:30, first pitch between the Mallards and the Rocks in Region 9C Amateur Playoffs. Going to be a great day of baseball in Madison. Tune in around 2:30 this afternoon for Mallard Baseball. All right, welcome back to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. Paul Ramo in the studio, and Brandon Hill is stuck around. He's going to give the Madison Mallard report instead of Matt. Matt's down at the field getting things ready for a big day here in Madison. And Brandon, it is going to be a big day in Madison, isn't it, today?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of traffic and a lot of people coming into the community, which is good. So hopefully we'll see a big crowd down there. A lot of baseball teams playing today at the field.
Yeah, and you're going to see some great baseball being played, amateur baseball. So if you're listening, come on over to Madison. The first game's at noon. What's it cost, Brandon?
$6 for adults, and that's four games for the day, so a pretty good deal. And then I think it's $2 for students ages 13 to 18 it goes, and then 12 and under is free. So
if you show up at noon, you get all four games for that price.
Yeah, it's a little over $1 a game is all, so that's pretty good.
And some great food and refreshments, too, being served today.
Yep, so yep.
Going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a big day of baseball. It'll be good.
So come on over to Madison if you love baseball. Madison's the place to be today. All right, Brandon, we got a couple Mallard games to talk about last weekend.
Yeah, so our format was, it's always been this in the amateur playoffs for our region. The first or the top six teams after the regular season automatically advance to the region tournament in the playoffs, and then the 7 through 12 seeds all have to play in to qualify for the region tournament. So what happened for us, we actually hosted 4 games last weekend. Usually the 2 higher seeds, the 7 and the 8 seed, both host their individual 2 games. And we were the 8 seed, and Clinton was the 7 seed, but with all the rain that Clinton got, they moved all the games down to Madison. So what happened was Cottonwood and Appleton played for the chance to play against us, and then Hancock and Dawson played for the chance to play against Clinton. So Cottonwood was able to win the first game against Appleton, so they played us last Saturday around 2:30, and we got a big win. This was an elimination game. If you lose, you're gone, and if you win, you qualify for the region tournament. So it's really good playoff atmosphere, and this was a huge game, and we know we had to go out and play a really good game because the first time we played Cottonwood, it was a 9-inning game, but it was 14-10. I think there was like 40 hits between the two teams, and it was a lot of back and forth. We had to make a comeback, so we knew they had a tough lineup, and we had to go play a good game. So we were able to win, and we played a good game. We won 7-4 and able to come away with the win. Cottonwood did come and tie it 4-4 in the 6th inning, and then we scored 3 more runs, and we were able to get the win 7-4.
All right. I like that setup, how the playoffs is set up there. It makes the regular season mean a lot then. You want to get them top seeds.
Yeah, it does. And some people, there's been talk of changing that a little bit. And I like how it is now, but I could see, too, if you qualify all the teams for regions in the playoffs, then you get all there's more fans and you get more excitement all for all the teams to keep playing and things like that. But it does make the regular season and all the other games much more important, which is good too.
Right. All right, stats on that game?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we were able to win 7-4. We scored 4 runs in the 2nd inning, so that was good. Gave us the early 4-0 lead. We scored 3 runs in the 6th inning. And Cottonwood, they came and scored 1 run in the 4th inning, 2 in the 5th inning, and 1 in the 6th inning, and that tied it up at the time. So I'll go through some of the stats for us. I was batting leadoff that game. I had a couple hits, and then I had an RBI and scored a couple runs.
You usually bat leadoff for the Mallards?
Yep, I've been batting leadoff. I think I've batted leadoff every game.
Oh, nice.
For us the last couple years.
Yeah, so you're having a good year, I think, aren't you? Huh?
Yeah, it's just important as a leadoff guy to get on base and let the guys behind you do most of the hitting, so that's good.
You're not even in your prime yet.
No. If you look at major league standards, I would still be a minor leaguer, so okay. Hopefully I got some more good years left.
All right.
And then Matt Inger, our number 2 hitter, who's our catcher, he was 2-for-4, and he had 2 RBIs. Cole Bungarden, our 3 hitter, who's another young guy. He's only 19. He was 1-for-3. He had an RBI. Evan Kells is a veteran player. He get walked with the bases loaded, and he had an RBI. Matt Munson, 1-for-4. He had a big double in that game. Garrett Olson was 1-for-4. Zach Flickinger was 1-for-4 with an RBI and a run. Brandon Bornhorst, our pitcher, who has actually been hitting for us lately, usually in town team and with us, over the last few years, consistently, you always designate hit for your pitcher, kind of like in Major League Baseball. But Borny, we've been watching him in the cage and watching him in his chances in games, and he's looked really good. So we gave him a chance to hit, and he's been doing excellent with it. So, and that was our stats for the day. Seth Laws was 0-for-3, but he got walked and scored a run. So everyone all through our lineup got on base at some point and drove in a run or scored a run.
Okay. And who pitched in that game, did you say?
Brandon Bornhorst started for us, and he's been our best pitcher over the last several years, and ever since it goes back to when I was playing with him as a freshman in the state tournament in high school. Yeah. So I've seen him play tons of games or pitch tons of games, and he's been an excellent pitcher for many, many years. He went 7 innings, and he picked up the win. Gave up 7 hits, only 4 runs, and they're all earned runs, and then he had 5 strikeouts, and then he did not allow a walk. And then I came in the last 2 innings, so it was a save situation. I had 5 strikeouts and had 1 walk, and I was able to pick up the save for us. So.
Okay, good. All right, good win there. Kept you going.
Yeah, kept us going. It was a good win and propelled us into Sunday. And what happens on Sunday is the 2 teams that win on Saturday, they both qualify for the region tournament, but then they play on Sunday to decide who's going to be the number 7 seed and who's going to be the number 8 seed headed into the region tournament. And like I mentioned, Hancock and Dawson played. Hancock was able to beat Dawson, and they had a chance to play Clinton, and then that was actually a really good game. Hancock was up 4-1, I think, going into something like the 8th inning, and then Clinton came storming back, and they actually had a big 2-run go-ahead home run. to able to come back and have the win. So we played Clinton on Sunday. Kind of a goofy game. We didn't play super well, but it actually ended up Clinton 7-6. We did lose, but it was 7-0 as early as the fifth inning. We were down, so we did make a nice comeback, but it would have been nice not to allow all those runs right away and to score some of our own. But
right. Yeah, and that game was just for seedings, as you mentioned, right?
Yep. It wasn't an elimination game, so yeah. You take it. It's a little more of a relaxed atmosphere than Saturday, but you still want to go out there and try to move up in the standings as you head into the playoffs. But.
Okay, what do you got for stats for that game for the Mallards?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we lost 7-6. We had 6 runs on 8 hits, and we committed 2 errors. And then Clinton scored 7 runs on 11 hits, and they had 3 errors. Starting for us on the mound was Aaron Olson. He went 5 innings, and he was handed the loss. He gave up 7 runs, actually, but only 2 earned runs, so he pitched fine. Gave up 10 hits and had 1 walk and was able to strike out 3. So kind of a tough luck loss for Aaron. It seemed like any time we had an unfortunate mistake, the Clinton, kind of like what we did in the Junior Legion game last night, they capitalized on any mistakes and they started hitting the ball really after defensive miscues and things like that.
Okay.
And then Cole Bungarden came in, pitched the last 3 innings, did a really nice job. He gave up 1 hit was all, no runs, and just walked 1 and didn't have a strikeout, but didn't allow any runs and looked really good in relief for us.
All right, so that propelled you into this weekend then, huh? Or you got anything else to talk about there?
Yeah, well, we had some hitting stats. We had 8 hits in the game. So Matt Enger had 1 hit and was walked once and scored a run. Cole Bungarden had 1 hit and had a double. Zach Flickinger had another good game, was 2-for-4 with an RBI. Connor Roy, who was playing right field for us, he's been kind of in and out in the lineup a little bit because if anyone's out of the lineup of our usual starting lineup, Connor fills in really nicely, and he's done a great job catching for us. Anytime Matt Enger hasn't been gone, Matt Inger's been the catcher for us for a long, long time. And Connor is good. It's a versatile guy you can put in anywhere, and he does a good job whatever you ask of him. So he was 1-for-3, scored a couple runs in the 7 hole, which was nice. Seth Haas was 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs, and then Austin Haas and the 9 hitter was 2-for-4, 3 RBIs, so our bottom of the order guys really did a nice job. They kind of carried us in that game offensively.
Okay. I didn't hear Matt Munson's name.
No, he didn't have a hit in that game, so I'm sure he'll be happy that you mentioned that. No, I didn't hear Matt Munson's either.
All right, so that wraps up that first weekend then.
Yep, so Clinton secured the 7 seed and we're the 8 seed, so that has us matched up with Ortonville, and Clinton matched up with Minyota, the number 2 seed today.
All right, let's talk about the big day in Madison, and it all starts at noon, doesn't it?
Yep, it all starts at noon. I have to check again. Morris plays Rosen right away. Yep. Morris is the 3 seed, and Rosen is the 6 seed. Mm-hmm. And then we have us and Ortonville at 2:30, and then 5 o'clock, you have...
What's Ortonville's record?
Ortonville, yeah, they're the number 1 seed. That's who we're playing. They're 10-1. They only have 1 loss. They lost a good game to Clinton in June, 1-0. Okay. So
How'd you guys do with them or during the regular season, do you remember?
Yeah, it was actually one of our last regular season games. It was a couple weeks ago, and we had Ortonville at home, and we lost 5-3, but it was a pretty good game, and that one was... Where in the 8th or 9th inning, we were threatening to come back, and Evan Kells and Garrett Olson both had really deep fly balls that if maybe on another day or just by a couple inches would be home runs, and then we could have won the game. So
okay, yeah.
And then it moves on to the 5 o'clock game. As I mentioned, Minyota is going to play Clinton, and then the final game of the day is a really good one, Dumont Saints and Chicago Coyotes, and both of those teams last year actually qualified for the state tournament, so that should be a really interesting game to finish out the night.
One thing about the Minyota Mudheads that really kind of shocked me, they play a lot of non-conference games. They have about 25, 26 games in this summer.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
What happens there is the Canby Knights were actually a team in our league for a long, long time, and they folded. They didn't get enough commitment, and they got rid of their team. So a lot of the Canby guys that wanted to continue playing went over to the Minyota team, so they have some really good numbers, and I know they get some guys from the Marshall area, too, being so close to Marshall, so they have a lot of good numbers, so they're able to play a lot of extra games, which is a good thing to have in the summer and to play a lot of games and get a lot of experience.
Yep. So 4 games in Madison today. Best entertainment around today.
Yep. Starting at noon, and the games will begin immediately after the finish of the previous one, so About noon, 2:30, 5, and 7:30 of the four games.
Okay, then what happens after today then, Brandon?
So what happens in our league, it's kind of interesting. The losers actually all immediately advance to next weekend on Saturday, and then the winners play immediately tomorrow on Sunday in Madison. So how that works out, it's good if you think about it. The losing team, so they don't have to come back and play right away this weekend. So every team next weekend is still qualified for the next weekend of play, which is good for the host team. Mm-hmm. You get all of those teams back, and all the teams get to play another weekend for sure. So the two winning teams from today will play tomorrow. The winner of our game with Ortonville and the Dumont and Chicago game will play tomorrow, the winner. And then Mineota and Clinton winner and the Morris and Rosen winner will play tomorrow.
Okay. So how do you qualify for state then? How do you get the state?
So in our league, I know for sure if you win today, tomorrow, and then on Saturday next week you play, if you win all three of those games, you'll qualify for the state tournament. Okay. So the two undefeated teams from this weekend will play right away on Saturday next weekend. And the winner of that one qualifies the state, and then the loser of that game next weekend on Saturday comes back in the third weekend, and then they'll play the team that's made it out of the loser's bracket. So if you win three games right away, you're in, which is good. It's important to get those wins right away, and or if you win three of your first four games, you qualify for state.
Who's hosting after this weekend then?
Rosen will host the last two weekends, and that's kind of been consistent over the last few years. Us and Rosen have held most of the games and on different weekends and things like that. And our region does actually send two teams to the playoffs. I have to mention, maybe not everyone knows that. Yep. Not, so in last year, Chicago Coyotes won our league, so they were the team that won the first three games and automatically qualified at the second weekend. And then Dumont Saints actually came through the loser's bracket and won and qualified for the state tournament also.
And what I've been hearing all season long is the Lando Ducks is, anybody can win this.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm
not
just
a
looking at
favorite.
Exactly. I'm just looking at some of the standings. There was four teams with four losses on the year. There was two teams with five losses and two teams with six losses. So, if you look at it, you know, some of the teams who have been consistently at the top of the standings every single year have fallen down a lot, but if you just, for example, look at us as the number 8 seed, we're 5-6, and if we won one or two more games during the regular season, depending on the opponent, we could have jumped all the way to number 2 seed from the 8 seed. So it's extremely even, and it's going to make for a really exciting tournament.
All right. Can't wait. You can hear the Madison Mallards and Ortonville Rocks game right here on Q92 starting around 2:30 this afternoon. And good luck, Brandon. And let's just have the Mallards keep winning then, huh?
Yep. Hopefully it'll be a good day.
All right. Well, we'll take a commercial break, and I'll come back and wrap up the Baseball Coaches Show right after this.
One of the most overlooked parts of a financial plan is how you'd pay for an extended care need. But did you know that long-term care insurance may be one of the most tax-advantaged ways to do this? Not only are benefits paid 100% tax-free, but your premiums may also be deductible. At Newman Long-Term Care, we've been helping people create their plan since 1990. Contact us for a free guide to learn about the state and federal tax advantages that may be available to you. Get yours at NewmanLongTermCare.com. That's NewmanLongTermCare.com.
Comerford Construction and Gravel of Danvers, serving our entire Q92 listening area, can handle all of your aggregate needs, including rock, crushed gravel, washed sand, and washed rock. Plus, they'll do your excavation work, including drag line, dozer work, land clearing, demolition, drainage ditches, and hydraulic excavator work. Call 320-567-2335. That's 320-567-2335. Comerford Construction and Gravel of Danvers, Minnesota.
MinWest Bank knows the business of ag. That's where our roots are. We have a commitment to agriculture and believe in the farming families in our communities. We salute these doers. Your dedication to the land powered by financial resources is what gets things done, now and into the future. Turn to MinWest Bank, where we understand farming and can keep you and your operation going strong. Doers, welcome.
Thinking of buying a camper or upgrading your current camper? Then head to D&K RV Sales, located 3 miles south of Cambie on Highway 75, owned and operated by Doug and Kathy Sheik. They carry Wildwood, Heritage Glen, Impact Toy Haulers. Financing is available on all new campers to qualified buyers. You can check out their full list of inventory at dkrvsales.com. That's D&K RV Sales. They're located 3 miles south of Cambie on Highway 75. Call 507-223-7580. 5518. That's 507-223-7518. D&K RV Sales, 3 miles south of Canby on Highway 75.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Chanhassen Dinner Theaters brings you Disney's triumphant musical, Newsies. Don't miss this thrilling American original, Newsies, nominated for 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. Inspired by the real-life Newsboys strike of 1899 and based on the 1992 Disney film, Jack Kelly and a ragtag group of newsboys take on New York's publishing giants. Through courage and determination, the Newsies take a stand and seize the day. Packed with show-stopping choreography and unforgettable music, it's a high-energy celebration of song and dance. Newsies, presented by Star Tribune. It's the talk of the town. Tickets at ChanhassenDT.com. Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, entertaining you for 50 years.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here wrapping things up on this beautiful Saturday morning. Of course, Junior Legion baseball playoffs continuing today. The Madison VFW team, in about 10 minutes, they'll start their game with Mineota in Mineota. And you can look for updates on the KLQP Sports Facebook page and my Twitter account within the next hour or so. Keep you updated on the Madison VFW team today. And as Brandon Hill just mentioned, big day in Madison. The first game of the day starts at noon. Number 3 seed Morris Eagles, 7-4 on the season, take on the 6-seeded Rosen Express. Rosen 6-5 on the season. Rosen won the previous matchup 5-4. Morris was winners of 4 of their last 5 league games, so should be a good game there. And then, of course, the second game, a game you'll hear right here on Q92 starting around 2:30. The number 1 seeded Ortonville Rocks, 10-1 in Lando Ducks League play, taking on the 8th seed Madison Mallards. Mallards are 5-6 during the regular season. Ortonville won the previous matchup with the Mallards by a score of 5-3. And listen to this, Ortonville, the Rocks, they were 8-1 in 1 or 2 run baseball games this year. So some close wins there for the Rocks. And then the 5 o'clock game will feature the number 2-seeded Mineota Mudhens, 7-4 in the Lando Ducks, taking on the 7th seed Clinton Cards. The Cards were 6-5. Clinton won the previous matchup against Mineota 10-2. And as I mentioned earlier, the Mineota Mudhens played the most games of any Lando Ducks League team at 23 games. And Clinton, they won a pair of 1-run playoff games last weekend, 5-4 and 7-6. And the final game, a nightcap at 7:30 here in Madison. The 4-seed Dumont Saints, 7-4, take on the 5th-seed Chicago Coyotes. Coyotes were 7-4 as well in the Lando Ducks League this year. So a big day. Start at noon, $6 adults at the gate, $2 for students ages 13 through 18, and 12 and under are free. And you can watch all 4 games for that price if you like. So a lot of refreshments, a lot of food down at the Madison Memorial Baseball Field. A lot of shade as well. We put up some tents down there. So come on down to the Madison Memorial Baseball Field today. Big day starting at noon. And I'll be on the air a little before 2:30 with the Madison Mallards and the Ortonville Rocks. Thanks for listening to the Baseball Coaches Show this morning. And we'll be back at 9 o'clock next Saturday. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. Tune in next week at 9 o'clock with more interviews with area baseball coaches right here on Q92. See you next Saturday morning. Have a great day.
Great music for St. Leo, Porter, Ivanhoe, and Taunton on 92.1 FM Q92.
Yeah. now here's a surprise. I know that you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and that I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. For miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh yeah. You took advantage of my trust in you when I was so far away. I saw you holding lots of other guys, and now you've got the nerve to say that you still want me. Well, that says maybe, but you gotta stand trial, because all the while I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles.
This is KLQP Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.